Welcome to the Holy Smokes Podcast, a show about faith, friendship, fine tobacco, and drink. I am Steve Ryder, and I am very close to my hometown of Partyville, Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin, a town that is so near and dear to my heart. This town has just got a magic about it. And I've been praying for a Holy Smokes chapter to come about while I am here, to come about. And when I was here over Christmas visiting my parents for the holidays, just before Christmas, I was at a lounge in southern Madison, actually Monona, called The Tasting Room. It's one of my favorite lounges in the nation. And as I was sitting there, I saw this guy stand up, turn around, put his jacket on, and I caught a quick glimpse of his t-shirt, and on the back it said Holy Smokes. It wasn't our logo. It was a logo that he had created for a group that he had created with a buddy of his, Mark, that just kind of organically happened. And it was an answer to 9 years of prayer at that point, Dave. So I am here with Dave Bechtold. Is that how I pronounce it?
Yes, sir.
And then Mark, what's your last name?
Bendorf,
that's right. Bendorf. And guys, this is freaking crazy. This is awesome. Welcome to the Holy Smokes Podcast and welcome to our larger group. And I hope that through this mutual affiliation that I'd love to see happen, that we can point people to your direction when they're in the Madison area, because I want to see this community transformed, because it's a magical town.
It is. We love Madison. Dude, I remember when, I was packing up and getting ready to bolt from the tasting room, and sketchy guy back in the corner comes up. And, that would be you. And hey, what does your shirt say? And I kind of like that. I mean, that's why we had the shirts, you know, because it's like, what? Holy smokes. And holy smokes. Oh, okay. You know, and other people are like, what's that all about? Well, you're like, tell me more about that. And then you connected me to Holy Smokes Global and had that conversation. And then it was cool. Cause I mean, we sat for about 5 minutes, and then the next person that you were waiting for to connect
my buddy
with,
Jeff.
Yeah. Came in and we just kind of parted ways, exchanged some info, and boom, here we are today. Good to have you back in town in my personal cigar lounge, my home.
Your home lounge.
Home lounge.
That you call Holy Smokes headquarters, but you also call it the tasting tomb.
The tasting tomb, yes.
Because it's in the basement.
Yes, yes.
A play on the lounge that I talked about earlier, the tasting room in Monona. So, guys, how did this group come about? Now, I'm going to get your full stories in episodes that I'm going to release after this, but give me kind of a summary of how this kind of came about.
Well, we've been hanging out. Actually, when COVID crushed our world, there were three of us that got together outside, you know, safe distancing, and we were playing music, eating food, and smoking cigars. And it was our way of pretending that the pandemic didn't exist, you know, for just a few hours on a sunny afternoon. And then we'd invite another person over there and someone else. And, you know, and his driveway was only so big to distance. And that's where we kind of connected that community around the cigar. And then we have been going to the tasting room for quite a while. And it's just amazing when people come into a cigar lounge.
By the way, the tasting room, I got to admit, it's a really nice lounge. I've been to a lot of lounges around the nation, and it's in that top echelon of lounges that I've ever been to in terms of feel. The fact that it's sitting in the location that it is, where you can overlook the marsh and lake, and it's a great spot for Madison.
It is. It's an amazing lounge. And if I could sum everything up in one word, it would be relationship. There's relationship within the tasting room. It is really a family. I can walk in there and there'll be a group of six people over here, three people over there. And hey, Mark, how are you? Come on in, join us. There's an extra chair right here. So Dave and I have both created a lot of relationships within the tasting room.
And I was wondering how I might leverage this amazing space called the tasting room to take some of these organic conversations about life and leadership and family and faith, not necessarily to the next level, but create a space where we could invite people to hear presentation of sorts that connected people to life, leadership, family, and faith. And so I talked to the general manager and I said, you know, it's really hard to find a time when you guys aren't open to reserve space, but would you ever rent out space? And well, we could do it on a morning before we open. And let me talk to the owner. And they had a few conversations. I presented them my idea, said I'd like 60 minutes to just invite people to, if they want to hear about faith, the Lord, a little presentation from the Bible, something like that. I don't want it to be a bait and switch. I want people to know what they're coming to, you know, yeah, and that way it'll probably keep the numbers down. And so
but it
I
hasn't,
was,
but it hasn't, right?
No, it hasn't. So I was envisioning, you know, maybe me and five of my buddies back, you know, on the couch area. And when I was talking to the manager, he said, well, I'm going to have the sound system hooked up and a microphone. And I said, well, I don't think we're going to need that. And he said, I've seen some of the events that you host and I see the relationships that you and Mark are building. And you're kind of the unofficial tasting room chaplain. I just want you to know that. So I've had bartenders connect with me and they said, hey, this is Bill. He wants to buy you a drink and wondering if he can chat 15 minutes about his marriage or his family. And so they're connecting people with us and it's really pretty special. So we got clearance to host our first Holy Smokes last January. And Holy Smokes was a name that one of our friends, you know, came up with before we knew anything about Holy Smokes. I mean, Holy Smokes, obviously it's an expression, you know, I think Batman and Robin coined it back in the 60s, but we had our first Holy Smokes and 30 people showed up sipping Bloody Marys, smoking cigars, and I'm there in the tasting room lounge leading a presentation about Jesus from the Bible. There's some guided small group discussion and then we say there's a prayer of blessing over everyone who attends. And it's just very relaxed and non-religious, non-churchy, but we're going places that Jesus would go, sharing a message of hope and peace,
yeah,
and purpose and joy, and people need it.
Yeah.
And then we got clearance. We were going to do it three times. I said, well, how about we do it three times? And then we can both evaluate. And if you don't like it, or if it's just not working, or if I think it's a bust, we both have an out. And they're like, we like it. So we did three last spring. And then they renewed the contract, so to speak, for the fall. We did a couple last fall. And then I said, I want to be able to tell the people at our Christmas edition of Holy Smokes that we're considering doing this next year. He's like, you know what, Dave? I don't think we can tell them that. But we can tell them that we are definitely going to do it in 2024. So this year we've got an event scheduled every quarter at the tasting room. And it has been very special and very popular. I'm like the Holy Smokes guy, you know, and oh, I got your invitation. And now people are coming. They're inviting friends. It's a consistent vibe. It's a consistent 60-minute block of time, so people kind of know what to expect. And that's great because then they know that I can invite someone to it and I know what I'm inviting them to.
Yeah. So once a quarter, is there plans to maybe scale that up a little bit more?
Well, My wife and I have been called to reach Madison, Wisconsin with joy and hope. And our primary methods are hospitality and generosity. And we do that through events. So we actually, we have another gathering in a local coffee shop called Holy Grounds. So about every 6 weeks, we're doing an event.
Yeah.
Holy Smokes, Holy Grounds. We do a thing called Burgers and the Bible at this dive bar. So it's going places that Jesus would go and creating opportunities that are systematic presentations of the goodness of God and the reality of how Jesus can rescue us and give us purpose and hope.
What's the dive bar that you're doing Burgers in the Bible?
We've done it at Eagle Crest. And so we're kind of looking for a home to do some more of those. So we have, I've got some feelers out, but I'd love to land a place that would be very welcoming of that. Because people love coming and knocking down some beers, getting a big juicy bar burger, and then we have conversations about the Lord.
The last time I was here, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, I went to Lola's, I think is what it's called, Lola's?
Yola? The coffee shop?
Or no. It's a 50s style lounge. Mm. That's really cool.
Oh, dude. Yes.
That is such a unique
place. It's over by Drakenberg's Cigar Lounge.
Exactly.
Really? Yeah.
Exactly. And I was blown away that this existed.
It's this swanky.
Yes. And they've got a DJ in the evening that's playing often, 50s and 60s music and throwing in maybe some more contemporary stuff, but it has this just 50s lounge kind of feel, and it was cool as hell, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So then what happens is people start, we've had conversations afterwards. Some of the people are like, well, that was really cool and that was neat. And boy, I used to go to church and they screwed me over and and I'm thinking, I never want to go back to a church, but I heard about this. And I'm like, this is my place.
Yes.
And these are my people.
Yes.
And I do need faith to be part of my life.
And community is part of that faith edification and building and all of that.
100%. And so the conversations that we have afterwards lead to all kinds of follow-up connections. Or I have never heard a priest talk the way you do, priest, people have all these words for what I do, and this was such a great service, or can I hear more? And so we're having follow-up conversations, and we're inviting them to Holy Grounds or the next Holy Smokes. And then this other cigar lounge in Delafield invited us to come and do Holy Smokes out there. So we've been doing those on the same weekend that we do Holy Smokes in Madison.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a dual thing. And there's a cigar lounge up north that is intrigued about this. And I'm going to be going up there with a friend of mine to talk to the manager because he's interested in seeing what it might look like to do Holy Smokes
there. And that's key because, not that Madison is this massive metropolis, but driving, if you're on the north side, to drive down to the south side, it can sometimes be a pain in the butt. Especially since Madison dropped their speed limits by 10 nearly across the entire town. Lord have mercy. So it's not like there's an interstate cutting through the town or this major throughway that you're able to quickly get from the north side to the south side. Yes, there's a belt line that goes from east to west that makes that a lot easier. But there's nothing from north to south.
Right.
So having a group up there, I think, could be massive. I think it could be really good for really starting to transform the city and start to make an impact.
Yes. Impact.
Impact, yeah. And impact through relationship and through time. And so this is what we like to do. And I love the fact that the tasting room says, you know what? You don't have to pay anything for this space. This space is beautiful. You would pay hundreds of dollars to
for an hour
for a space like this, plus staffing it. They said, we want to staff it. These are the owners who are saying, we will staff it. We will open it. And you can bring in, you know, your coffee and pastries, and we'll serve bar drinks and sell cigars. And we want that to be our gift to you, because we feel like you're so a gift to us. The owner said to me, he said, you know, I don't really know the ins and outs of all of this, but there's a lot of Holy Spirit stuff going on around here. And I think it's because of you. So thumbs up to what you're doing. Yeah.
That's rad. So you've been doing this for just over a year, because we're recording this in February of 24. What are some of the stories that really kind of stand out to you about how you've seen God working?
Well, it's some of these follow-up conversations. I've never heard this in the simplicity and the attractiveness of what you just shared. Can we talk? Because I want to hear more.
Yeah.
So I got together with this one young man at a few weeks later. We were sitting out on a patio, talking, chatting. He said, I am at a transitional point in my life, and I know that to become the best version of who I was made to be, that faith needs to be part of that journey. And I think you're the guy that's going to help me at this intersection. So within an hour, I basically called to the question, would you like to invite Jesus to be the leader of the rest of your life? That's what I need. Mm. And I said, let's do that. And right out there on the patio, we prayed, he prayed. And just, it was so simple and so pure and so childlike and so easy.
Yeah.
Because God is good. And a lot of people miss out on the reality of the goodness of God, because so many of God's people have messed up that view of God.
They forgot to be like Jesus, to follow his commandments. Instead, it becomes this religious puffery, if you will.
Yes, and
it's about being right and about being, yeah.
I saw a bumper sticker not too long ago. It said, God save me from your followers.
And that's the truth.
And I belly laughed in pain at the same time as I was reading that. I'm like, yeah, that's
exactly.
And I want to be a follower of God, and Mark as well. We work together. We've got each other's backs. We fill each other's dead spaces, and we see each other's blind spots when we're hanging out at the cigar lounge. And we're just telling stories about life and family and the Lord and testimonies of God's goodness. And you tell them about when we just sit around.
Yeah, as we're sitting just like we are right now, but we're in a public space and we can share our testimony. Well, what'd you do last night? Well, I got this going on and I got this going on. But I know that God is good. And you know that the people beside us are listening to that and are saying, well, he's still in a good mood and he's got all this crap that's going on in his life. Where does he get his help? Where does your help come from?
Mark, it's not just crap. We'll get to this in your story, but 3 years ago, your 20-year-old son accidentally overdosed and died.
Yes.
That's not just crap. That is something massively transformative and grief.
Right.
Grief at a level that very few people really understand. To lose a kid at that, just when they're starting to live life. And he was your partner, your business partner.
Yes.
And a friend. And so to be able to say that God is still good going through something like that, the people that know that and they hear that.
Yeah.
How can you say that? How can you say that?
Yeah.
God took your kid.
Right.
God took my mom when I was a kid, or God took, that's so often our default. So for you to say God is still good, having gone through what you went through over the last 3 years, dude.
And Mark can relate to a level of pain that many people carry.
Exactly.
That creates an instant bridge of safety and disarming conversation.
I've heard it many times. John Wimber, the late pastor in the Vineyard Church, had a saying, "I never trust a man who doesn't have a limp." Referencing Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord and his hip being touched, and he had a limp the rest of his life. When we wrestle with God, when we really go through something deep, like losing a spouse like I did, or losing a child like you did, there is something that is that makes us, it burns away the chaff of our faith.
Right.
And it really deepens us in a way that is identifiable with people who carry that kind of pain, or even just pain from sexual trauma or pain from something else.
Yeah, it runs deep. In our faith, my faith runs deep because of how I was raised. I was raised in the church, but I didn't always live that way, but I always trusted God. And I would like to go back to the word relationship again. And by building relationships with other people, with other men, I've been able to create a community around me that when I have something going on, I can lean on them. So if I have a group of people that I can share this with and share my faith, and they can share their faith with me through a horrible, horrendous time that I went through, that my son's mother went through, that his siblings went through, I can be a strong portion in their lives too. So I like to look at it as the story in Mark where the paraplegic has not able to get to Jesus, but he's on a mat and he's got someone on each corner of that mat lifting him up and taking him to the Lord. Yeah. And that's what community does. That's what good friends can do when you're in a hard spot.
Yeah.
I remember asking you last year, like, how do you stay so strong? In fact, your faith has been strengthened. And we know people who have gone through horrific situations, and we watch their faith that we thought was so deep and solid be immediately in question by them. And where is God? And how could God do this? And I have never seen or heard that from you, and you and I have logged a whole lot of time together. And I asked Mark, I said, how do you stay so strong? And he brought up that story in the book of Mark of those friends bringing people to Jesus. And he says, you know what? I've got people at the corners of my mat who bring me to Jesus when I don't have the strength to get to him on my own. And I said, but so many people are lacking those people on the corners. You know, where do you get those people? And he's like, you know what? I realize that I live my life and my hands are always on the corners of other people's mats. Ooh. And so when it comes to my point in life where I'm in desperate need, those people are happy to carry me. Now, because Mark's so tall, it might take 5 or 6 people to carry that mat. But Mark has people in his life that bring him to Jesus when he doesn't have the strength to get there on his own because of the investment that you've made into them. And I am one of them.
Yeah. And I want to continue that. And my son who died, his dying at a young age like that and having friends that are at a young age I ask myself, how do they deal with that? And I, from the very day, I'll tell you, I got a call February 14th of 2021. It was a Sunday night, Valentine's night, from the mother of one of his roommates and said, Mark, you need to come over right away. There's a problem. And I drove over to my son's house where he was living, and there was police cars all over the place. There was no ambulance. I thought, oh man, he's in trouble. What's going on? The paramedics had already left and declared him dead. And it was heart-wrenching. I had no words could explain the feeling. I just kept saying, I need to see my son. I want to go back to his room. I need to see him. And they didn't want me to see him for a lot of reasons. And they didn't want me to have a lasting memory of that sight of him. So that was an unbelievable moment in my life. But I remember that night there was a group of friends that had gathered at the house when they heard what had happened. And I turned to those guys and gals and said, this is not your fault. This is not your fault. I wanted them to not blame themselves. 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. I did not want them to go through the rest of their lives thinking, what if? What if I would have done this? What if I'd have done that? And the what ifs in our lives can kill us internally. And I wanted them to know from the very beginning that they did not need to blame themselves. So I carried that on. I've stayed friends with his friends. And just this past February 14th, 10 days ago, I met with a group of his friends at the cemetery. And there was 10 of us. My next oldest son was there, and I was there, and 8 of Abraham's friends. And we stood by the gravesite and exchanged stories of how Abe was. When Abe was born, when Abe was in his mother's womb, we were trying to decide what name we should call him. And the only name we could come up with, we didn't know if he was a boy or a girl. The only name that we could come up with for our first child was Abraham. So from the very beginning, his name was Abraham. And what is Abraham? That name means father of many nations. And he lived up to that name by creating a group of friends. I call them wallflowers. They're these misfits that would sit at the cafeteria and they'd be sitting by themselves, and Abe would see him over there and invite him over to the group. And it was a mixing pot. The high schools are mixing pots of all different people and, you know, backgrounds and this, that, and the other thing. But he brought all of these people together. I have a picture of 30 kids. A morbid picture, maybe, but I wanted to remember this, that there were 30 kids at that funeral, and I had them, they all lined up behind the gravesite and behind his casket. And Abe was the catalyst to all of those kids. And they all loved him. They all loved him. And it was an amazing time, in such a hard time, mm-hmm. I was still able to see the Lord working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through his death. And back to just 10 days ago, there was a group of 10 of us that were at the tasting room. After we met at the cemetery, we went and had a toast to Abe, and we all had a cigar, and just, again, just exchanged stories.
Mm.
And one of the kids came up to me and said, you know, I was talking with Abe every day. He was my strong person that I could go to. And I would just tell him everything that was going on in my life. And he said, since Abe died, I've had questions. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I don't know much about religion. But since Abe died and what you say about him, I'd like to talk to you more about that. And it just brings up, the tasting room is a safe place for many people, for Dave and I, and for this community of cigar smokers and bourbon connoisseurs. And it's a safe place where we can share the Lord. It's an amazing adventure that Dave and I are on.
Mm. What is your vision for this community through what you guys are doing?
Whew. Mark, that was good to hear that again.
Yeah.
And it's good to be part of that story. Our vision is that people would not only taste and see that the Lord is good, but that they would realize their need for Jesus to give true hope and purpose. And once they say yes to that simple opportunity that the Lord gives each of us, that we could help them find places for spiritual growth, discipleship, community, focused around faith and growing in the Word of God, how to pray, how to talk with God. Can we hear God? And so it's not just a neat thing that we're trying to get people to taste. Tasting is one thing, but purchasing the meal, that's what we live in our conversations. And there's so much of the goodness of God to be shared with others. And we would love to see people connecting with a one-on-one discipleship mentor. What does discipleship mean? You know, depending on who's listening to this, you know, Jesus had disciples. They are following and emulating a teacher. And Mark's not the teacher. I'm not the teacher. We're vessels. Mm. We're voices in the wilderness. And Jesus is the one who leads by serving, and he served us by giving his life. And we want to see people grow, and we want to help people grow in their faith. And when people come to Jesus in an authentic way that they're ready to have their life changed in that direction, it is so easy for them to share that with others. And the goodness of God and the hope of eternal salvation is multiplied. You were asking about stories. Another one of the bartenders at the lounge, we have little small group discussions a couple of times as part of our Holy Smokes events. And I was in her small group. It was just her and I, because I just went up to the bar and we chatted. And a few months ago, she came to the Lord. And now she's part of our church and helping me with the next Holy Grounds event. She's partnering with me. And we don't have this follow-up plan in place, but we're working on connecting with spiritual leaders in our community to help make disciples out of people who are coming to the Lord. And but in the process, our method of taking them to the next steps is just inviting them to be on the team and watch it happen and partner with us in spreading the good news that you've already said yes to yourself.
May it be.
Hear, hear.
May it be. Thanks, guys. We'll get to your stories in the next two episodes, but thanks for being on the Holy Smokes podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's an honor to talk about these things in a way that can be shared with others. So thanks. Thanks, Steve.
Hey, everyone. I wanted to announce that we have Holy Smokes gear. That's right. We have swag. We currently have hats, shirts, stickers, like for your vehicle or your travel humidor, magnets, even branded bourbon glasses for a limited time. Go to holysmokes.club and click on the shop tab. That's holysmokes.club. I'm super proud of the shirts. They're made with Bella Canvas shirts that are soft and incredibly comfortable. The hats fit wonderfully, which can be a problem for those of us with big noggins. We plan on having a lot more to offer, like Guayabera shirts, additional t-shirt designs, beanies, polos, hoodies, cigar accessories, and much more. Check it out. And even if you don't make a purchase now, be sure to sign up for that email list, as I've thrown a couple big discount coupon codes for those exclusively on that list. So click the shop tab at holysmokes.club. Thanks.